Live from Buffalo Creek. All right, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 119. We'll dip in here for a verse or two tonight. Psalm 119. Let's go ahead and read verse 57. We've covered that last time we looked at it. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Verse 58. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I think it's interesting that he gives you the idea in verse 57 that his affections and desires at some time in his life had been changed for him to be able to say that God was his portion, that God was his all. That can only happen if you've been born again. You won't have that desire. People who are unsaved cannot say the Lord is their portion. They won't say that their desire is to keep God's words and to abide in them and walk in them. That's the language of somebody who's been born of the Spirit, who has been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's indwelt by the Spirit, who loves the Word of God, who looks to the promises of God for strength, encouragement, empowerment. So his heart, his life, his way of thinking had been already changed for him to say, "Thou art my portion." Now, the reason why I think that is so important to verse 58 is because he says that I entreated thy favor. I came to God seeking his favor, seeking his face. By the way, the only way that you can have a hearing before God is if you're in Christ Jesus. We pray in his name, by the authority of his name. You can't come to God apart from Christ, but we seek his face, we seek his favor based on the work of reconciliation that the blood of Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. I entreat thee, I've entreated thy favor, I've entreated thy presence, thy face with my whole heart. Now that struck me as I thought about this. When the Lord is our portion, we ought to seek his face and his favor with our whole heart, with all of our heart, all of our affections, desires, our inner being. When the Lord is your all and the chief object of your affections, you realize how important it is to daily seek him in earnest. And then I got to thinking, how much am I really serving God with my whole heart? With all of my affections. Remember, what's the first and greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. In other words, all of your being is to be engaged in loving God. So do we really seek him earnestly, fervently, diligently, with everything that's in us? And then as I thought about this phrase, I sought thee with my whole heart. I entreated thee with my whole heart. I remembered, as I've read Psalm 119 so many times, this phrase is used all the way through it. This is the language of somebody who is being spiritually transformed, whose affections, whose desires are being changed by the power of God to the point where he wants to be fully surrendered, completely devoted, entirely engaged in his love for the Lord. Let's go back to Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Everybody quotes verses 9 and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? Very few people see verse 10 and the connection that it has between 9 and 11. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. There is a connection there, making the word of preeminent importance and following it, abiding in it, walking in it, and you seeking God with your whole heart. Verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. He was not an antinomian. He loved God's law. He didn't see any problem whatsoever with the commands of God. He loved them. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't love God's laws and commandments, which are just expressions of his righteousness, of his holiness, you don't love God's laws, commandments, precepts, you've never sought him with your whole heart. In fact, you may not even be born again. Because the Bible says, Paul the apostle of all people said, now here was a man that wrote with such power against what real legalism is, which is salvation, the idea that you're saved by the works of the law. That's real legalism. A lot of people label everything else as legalism, but that's what real legalism is. People who believe they're saved by standards, laws, and systems. But he said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. After that new man that's been created in righteousness and true holiness. I love him. I love his law. Because it's an expression of his righteousness. Well, you know what? We're to seek him with our whole heart and make his commandments our delight. See, there's a connection there. If your heart's been changed, if he's given you a new heart, you have a new man created in righteousness and true holiness, you're going to love the expression of God's holiness. All right, we're in verse 68. Let's go over, look at 69. This is where it's used again. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Do you see the theme that is developing here? This is the language of somebody who is resolved to be dedicated, consecrated, to loving the Lord, loving His Word, loving His law, walking in His ways, obeying His commands, seeking His face with diligence, earnestness, fervor, desire. And then 145. I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord, I will keep Thy statutes." Have you ever cried with your whole heart? Have you ever sought Him with your whole heart? Have you ever desired Him with your whole heart? With everything that's in you? I confess that this language convicts me. So I ask you tonight, dear child of God, have you ever sought the Lord and His ways with all your heart? What would happen if the reality of these verses took place in our individual lives, in our homes, and in our church? The power of God would rest upon us. Oh, that God would rid us of any distractions that would prohibit us from seeking Him like this. The favor that David is praying for in this verse was the blessing of divine mercy. He realized that he was a sinner, that he had fallen so far short, and that he's seeking God with his whole heart because he needs mercy. I love that somebody whose heart is fully engaged realize what they are. There's no self-righteousness in the language of David. He is letting us know he, of all people, who wrote this psalm, who had godly desires. The comment is that somewhere in the Bible, I know it's in there, he's a man after God's own heart. And he's saying, I need mercy. Lord, I am seeking Your face because I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I want to serve You. It's almost like it's an Old Testament version in one verse of Romans 7. Lord, I love Your law according to the inward man, but Lord, I need mercy because I do wrong. Now, I entreated Thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me. You know, the best person to plead with for mercy is God. He is merciful. Think of how many people the world over have drank deeply of the mercies of the Lord, whose lives have been changed, whose sins have been forgiven, whose addictions have been removed. It's all the mercies of God. Families healed, the mercies of God. The desire for drink taken away, the mercies of God. Sin conquered, the mercies of God in Christ. No favors given to us by earthly mortals however expensive or pompous they may appear, can ever compare to the rich mercies we have in Jesus Christ. See, David had tasted that the Lord is gracious. And he knew as a sinner he needed divine mercy. And so he's seeking him with all of his heart. Are there any greater favors in this world that can compare with the free pardon of sin, with access into the most holy place, with freedom to worship, liberty to come before the throne of God? Is there any greater favor among men to be able to say, I'm saved, saved to the uttermost by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm risen in Christ. I'm on my way to glory. One day I'll take my place with all the redeemed around the throne of God, dressed in spotless white, all because of His favor, His mercies, His grace. David knew where to go to for mercy, for favor. It's Almighty God. How thankful we ought to be for the mercies which God bountifully bestows upon us daily. As unworthy as we are. And how do they come to us? In Christ and through the promises of His Word. According to Thy Word. We don't have to beg for anything from earthly presidents or monarchs or governments. We can go directly to the One who owns the world and everything in it. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. We can go directly to Him for mercy and grace in time of need. No matter how poor, no matter how poverty-stricken we may be, we are enriched in Christ, and we can sue for mercy in His name. I got so much more tonight than all the earthly presidents, kings, prime ministers. What they have is temporary and fleeting. I am a partaker of the grace and mercy of God that endures forever. Let that encourage your heart. And let's learn to seek Him with our whole heart. If He's opened up the treasuries of His grace, may God give us wisdom to seek Him with everything that's in us. According to His Word. That's all I got tonight. Acts 13:22. A man after God's own heart. Thank you, brother.